That is wonderful. Justin, you really nailed it this time. Mm-hmm. We are back with
he
the bonus.
Nails it every time.
We're back with a bonus track. We don't do this with every guest, but when we have a special guest like Darlene Marco Shiley, we like to do this. So, Darlene, anything we left out in the opening segments, or what kind of vision do you see for San Diego? What would you like to see happen next? And what our big issues, I guess, are water and transportation and roads. Or you have any thoughts in any general areas like that?
I'd sure like to see, if we're going to spend city money, I'd kind of like to see it go towards Balboa Park. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that's for the entire city. I don't want to talk sports or anything like that. I just think that if we're going to spend money that we have, that it should be so that all of the citizens and visitors come to Balboa Park. I take visitors to Balboa mm-hmm. Park, but the theaters there and the museums.
Do you know the gate, when you go over the Laurel Street Bridge into the park, you see that big frieze, that sculpture over the arch there. That mm-hmm. was sculpted by these brothers who also did the Statue of Lincoln in the Lincoln Memorial.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, same family. Mm-hmm.
How
actually,
cool
they did
that?
They did that before the Lincoln.
That was before the Lincoln.
Yeah, and I forget the name, but it's a long Sicilian name, and I'll
look it up. I can't believe you don't remember that, Mr. Vecchio.
Yeah, I know. I'll look it up. But
I think that might be on one of our shows, Joe. We talked about that with...
Yeah, we talked about it with several people.
Yeah,
and
several people
I wanted to get a plaque or something.
History Museum.
We've been trying to get a plaque for that, but whatever. But anyway, there's the Lincoln Memorial Balboa Park connection. A lot of people don't even... But when you say it does, there's a lot of deferred maintenance in the park, isn't there?
A lot. I mean, even you look at the botanical building. People forget, you know, the old Globe Theater, that's all privately funded. I think, you know, this, you know, the city obviously provided the land, but everything they built, those of us who contribute.
But their rent is a dollar a year.
Exactly.
they're
maintained in the Museum of Art, Timken, there's a lot of good things that happen there, and I'd like mm-hmm. to see them pay attention to that. And we were talking earlier about, you know, fundraising and how you go about that. I have this little game I play during the holidays. I happen to believe that organizations that are looking for funds should be on duty during the holidays, mm-hmm. because some people at the end of the year are looking for a way to take some money out. I call it dialing with dollars.
Mm.
And I call, and if I get a voicemail, I leave a message that says, I'm so sorry that you weren't in to take my donation. And so I'm going to call the next group on my list, right. And they're going to get your donation and their donation. Mm-hmm. I was about on the fifth message, and people recognize my voice
sure.
now, and they're all going, oh, God, Shiley called, oh, God, we missed it. And I got some poor staff guy at the Alzheimer's office. He was no more a development person than I was a you know,
chef.
Stud ranch
yeah.
farmer.
Okay.
I mean, I, you know, just, oh, what a great choice, a stud ranch farmer, what the heck? Where do I don't even know. I haven't been drinking, folks. I just want you to know. Justin will testify
coming
for me.
Out of the country.
Justin, you're my new best friend. I can't trust Richard or Joe, but
hey,
you
I
I'm going
we were
going
with. Going to the movies tonight. Wait a minute.
Where was I? That was such a good point.
We're
that
on
I...
the stud
so
farm.
So anyway,
I don't
the,
know.
The,
you
the,
would, you
the non-development guy on the fifth call answered.
Oh, yeah. I got this, and he said, yes, ma'am, can I help? I said, can you take down a credit card number as for a donation? He said, yes. And I gave him $25,000.
It was the fifth one, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he was the fifth one. He got 20. And I met him a few months later. He says, oh, he said, I've never had anything like that happen
yeah.
in my life. He was so funny, so sweet. But it is those moments, and you mentioned it earlier, Richard, when people turn to you in the theater and say, gee, thanks for mm-hmm. what you do. And it makes you feel like, because there's sometimes it's very disappointing. Stewardship is something that's not being paid enough attention to. And I'm sure it's not just San Diego, but these organizations have got to do, I will do what I say I'm going to do. I expect you to do what you have agreed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an area we need to, so whatever it is, Joe, that we're, you know, we're funding, everybody's got to pay attention
and
to
you,
that.
And you can't hear please and thank you enough. I, you know, it's amazing. I mean, I did some very nice things for an executive director who's no longer there and never got a thank you. And it just, I mean.
That's all you need is a thank. I recently left a board, an organization I contributed a lot of money to. I didn't even get a letter saying, gee, thanks for serving on our board and forking over a few million dollars. I thought, gosh, guys, you know, at least it doesn't have to be flowery. It doesn't have to be a big deal. Just let me know that I'm on the right track. Because every so often, you need to hear it from someone other than your loyal assistant mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. your attorney who is paid to tell you things like that.
Well, even Phil Blair made the point. He said for the kids, people interviewing for a job, you send a written thank you note in an envelope.
That's right.
It's a lost art.
Yeah, handwritten, if at all possible. So, Darlene, do you see younger people getting more involved in philanthropy? Because I do.
Curious. From the standpoint of volunteerism. Mm-hmm. And there are universities, a lot of them that have programs for it. Interestingly, the Catholic universities, University of Portland, University of San Diego, seem to have a really great mm-hmm. emphasis yep. on that. I see it in that generation. It's kind of missing in the middle. And mm-hmm. there are a lot of people who have done well that can be sending money back out there. I mean, I'm not Crusader Rabbit. I don't portray myself that way. I don't ride a horse, although I've thought about it occasionally. But I try to do the best that I can with what Donald gave me to work with.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of riding horses, we just had Joan Embry on the show.
And
She's got about, 40-50 acre refuge. Have you been there?
Up Lakeside.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I have. She's done quite a few things out there.
We have to get out there. By the way, it was the Piccirilli brothers who did the Lincoln Memorial Statue. The Piccirilli. How could I forget? From Tuscany.
Shame on you. Oh, Joe. You realize how many Italians are going to call in and just beat you up?
That's why I have to have my iPad with me constantly, because haven't we become dependent on technology now? I used to remember all kinds of phone numbers. Now they're all in our phone, right? It's just hit the button. We don't remember phone numbers, do we?
I hardly remember my home phone number. Of course, I don't call myself
very often. So I don't have to remember mine.
And landlines are becoming extinct. I mean, there are people who aren't even using landlines anymore.
I have one VoIP line just as a backup at home, but it's connected to the internet. But other than that, no landline anymore. So, and a cell phone, and that's it, right?
But in an emergency, though, I mean, if the power goes out or something, you want to have a landline mm-hmm. in case you can't charge up your cell phone.
Well, I guess that's true. Or go find an outlet somewhere.
AT&T, I could use a discount in case you're listening out there.
Outlet. Speaking of outlet, what do you do in your leisure time? Speaking of outlets.
What is that? How do you spell that?
You like to travel, right?
Yeah, I travel.
Tell us where you've traveled, some of your favorite places.
I just got back from Brazil, nice. Land of my heritage. Mm-hmm. I am Brazilian and Portuguese.
I was going to ask, is Marcos Portuguese?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Brazil and Portugal.
So where'd you go in Brazil?
Well, I did a cruise because the Crystal Symphony decorates themselves up for Christmas, and that's mm-hmm. an important time. It's also one of the few places that you can find, a creche and Christmas trees mm-hmm. anymore. I like that.
I got a crush on you.
Pretty boy.
Joe, you promised you wouldn't sing on the show.
But Brazil.
For our next number, we'd like to do...
We have a little duet.
Embrace me, my sweet embrace.
Do you like karaoke? Because I do.
Yes, I do. And when I've been drinking, I really like
karaoke. Why don't we have like a philanthropic fundraising karaoke night? I've got some great people.
I'm on for that.
Let's do that.
We got up with Donald.
They
got
to pay a lot of money to hear Darlene sing.
We're going to charge them big time. You get me to sing, you better be drinking and spending a lot of money.
I love it. Let's think about
actually,
this.
It'd be a good fundraiser.
Yeah,
maybe. It'd be like, for $10,000, I'll sing a song. For $20,000, I won't.
I
think we could make some money.
You know, we probably get a live band even, if some good musicians and whatever.
That's better than a dead band,
yeah.
I always say. I never understand that. And now live, and I'm thinking, what is the alternative? They're going to put my...
Record it, you know.
Remember, guys, you asked me to be on the program. Just keep that in mind
when you play this
puppy back.
This is wonderful. By the way, the last time I saw Audrey Geisel on stage was with you at the Women in Business tribute at the Town and Country a few years ago. Yeah. And you had notes, and you just kind of crumpled them up and threw them away and did your beautiful ad-libbing thing. But was that the last time Audrey has been in public?
I think there was one time she did a chair at an institution, and the chair couldn't be there to make the presentation. And I did it for her, and it was great because Audrey and I are good friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sort of thing where if I see her name on something, I'll contribute to it. She mm-hmm. sees my name on it, she will. We don't even have to, you mm-hmm. know. She's the one that had called me and asked me about the two organizations.
Well,
wonderful woman.
February 8th, I'm going to the Theater Critics thing at MOPA every year. I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Your name, I see both your names on that. So that's a great event.
Try to cover some ground.
But, Audrey, we unveiled the plaque.
La Vie.
In La Valencia, the Whaling Bar, which is... has been changed. We unveiled a plaque there. Was that 08, Richard, or what year
was it? No, Joe. That was 2012.
2012, July, Scott.
July 2012.
It was July 8th.
After it sold or before it sold?
During the sale, before the remodel.
Yeah. Richard knew the new owners, and they were kind enough. I had been working on this project since like 98, and then like 03, I wanted to get a plaque somewhere for Dr. Mm-hmm. Seuss, because no one knows, most people still do not know that he wrote most of those books in his home on Encelia Drive there.
But he spent a lot of time in booth number 3.
Well, we found that out. Yeah. Just through happenstance, because we're thinking, where are we going to put the plaque? The lobby's difficult, you know, you need an act of Congress. And I happened to ask Ray, the bartender, we've been there 52 years, did you ever serve Dr. Seuss? He goes, yeah, right in that booth there. So it was booth 3, but they've taken, we had a big unveiling. Audrey showed up with all her guests and such. And then by the end of the year, they had remodeled the place, and it's now called Cafe LaRue. Have you been there since?
I haven't been since the remodel. I've heard some people that were a little disappointed.
They should have kept
the
Whaling
Bar.
They should have kept the booth. I mean, the Whaling Bar obviously could have used a facelift, but they totally gutted the whole
room. They should have kept the plaque.
The plaque and the booths, at least along one wall, I think. But
Well, plus Helen Copley used to hang out, and you know, whenever there was one booth, nobody, whether she was there in town or whatever, that booth
that corner
was for
one.
Her. Yeah,
that's where we did
Raymond Chandler used to come by.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think you're talking about the one that's to the right when you walked in the door, that big round one.
Yeah, the corner, yeah.
That's where we did the show with Dick Enberg.
Dick Enberg, right, in the corner.
They let you sit there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, she wasn't around anymore.
We figured if she showed up, I heard the news.
But that'll slow up things.
But I think I heard her voice at some point. I don't know.
Helen, my best contact with her was she had given, when KPBS first started their first capital campaign, she wrote out a check for $1 million, you know, for the building. And I'd never seen a check written out for $1 million. So I came home. I thought, God, how cool. So I'm sitting there with our checkbook, and I'm writing out. And Donald comes along. I said, what are you doing? I said, Helen Copley, I saw a check for $1 million today. I said, so I was just, you know, she
practicing.
Says, and he said, that's all right, hon. You don't have to do that. And he took the checkbook away from me. And I've always felt bad about that, but I might as well tell the world. My husband... No, I don't think you should write. And now when I write out really big checks, I always think of Donald. I say, see, honey, it didn't work. He couldn't keep it from me. He married me because I didn't shop. That was one of the reasons. I didn't shop, and I had a car Magia. I knew he was after the car when he married me. I knew it. But he got me anyway.
That is funny.
Now, the histories, they have the Seuss exhibit there, wasn't it? And you read some of the Dr. Seuss books, right, for the kids
in September? That was so much fun to read to the kids. I was expecting like 20 kids, and Linda goes, no dipstick. There's going to be more than 20 kids. She calls me dipstick. It's really embarrassing to have someone that works with you. Actually, she calls me a lot of other stuff.
Well, that keeps us grounded. That's great.
It does. But I walked into the room, and there had to be, I don't know, 100 kids and their parents. I was dumbstruck. It was a great experience, and I like to do that. I commune well with kids because basically I think my brain stopped working at a certain point.
If we maintain our childlike qualities, I mean, we just talked to Dick Van Dyke recently. Mm-hmm. He turned 90
in December.
Oh, and his
he was
wife
belting out songs.
His wife's
own birthday 45.
Party. Yeah. His wife's 45. We had her on the phone, and she said, well, he's 90, but he certainly doesn't act 90. I said, well, of course not. You know, that's why he's so buoyant and resilient and whatnot.
There's so much to
sings
living.
And dances every day.
Yeah, nowadays you have to, I believe, I'm a little off the wall on occasion. I'm 69.
Good.
I try not to. There aren't a lot of people that think I'm 69. I don't wear makeup during the day. People still recognize me in the grocery store. You know how embarrassing it is to be handling a cantaloupe and have someone say, I know who you are. And I go, no, you don't. Yeah, and then they know the name and stuff. This lady says, what are you doing here? And I said, buying a cantaloupe? I thought, I don't want to give her the wrong answer. She says, no, what are you doing here? I said, buying groceries? What are you doing here? And I said, you mean in Escondido? I said, well, I live, and I was going to tell her, and I said, oh, no, this could be a whack job. And I said, no, I live in the area. And
passing through.
Yeah, I got to buy groceries every so often. But she
there was a cantaloupe for sale.
She was wondering why you shop, right?
Yeah, well, why I shop, I'm in a hair salon in Valley Center. The woman says, do you realize how much you look like Darlene Shire?
That's good.
And I, of course, said, really?
Small world.
No, I didn't admit to it because I didn't know. You know.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, my headdress is on the floor laughing her brains out. And so she, and I said, well, how do you know her? Oh, no, she does these great things and blah, blah, blah. And her late husband, I said, well, then you like her? And she says, oh, yes, that's why I commented how much you look like her. And I said, well, I am Darlene Shire. And she says, No, you're not.
Now she's going to get
this is a no-win. Are you? Yes. Yes. And I'm screaming. Yes, I
got an argument.
Look at the mole on my shoulder. I mean, honestly, woman. But it's... you do what you can to keep life as light as you can because it's tough.
Exactly. The bumps in the roads.
I had a moral issue once. A kid walked up to me and said, would you sign my skateboard? I'm like, huh? He says, well, you're Tony Hawk, right? And then, of course, it's a, you know, do you disappoint the kid or you just sign the skateboard and hope he never figures out that I wasn't really Tony Hawk?
So did you sign Tony?
That is a moral dilemma.
It is a moral dilemma.
What'd you do?
Well, I'm not disclosing it.
You signed Tony Hawk.
I'd sign Tony Hawk and then tell the kid.
I didn't want to wreck the kid's day. I mean, he doesn't know.
Anyway, why don't we...
I'm just glad he didn't ask me to write it. I would have killed myself.
Yeah. Anyway,
let's wrap it
right there. Darlene Marco Shirely, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for doing all you do, and we hope to have you continue for many, many, many
thank
years
you.
To come.
Thank you, I appreciate that. I'll try.
All right, thank you. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.